Welcome back to 1116 SEN. We're down here in beautiful sunny Geelong. Simmons Stadium, a pitcher for AFL football. Geelong taking on the Demons. That game coming up in just over an hour or so. Our fearless leader, Andy Maher, taking a break but filling the chair and the shoes absolutely beautifully. Brett Anderson from Inside Football and SEN joins us. Brett, we're going to take a bit of a look at the upcoming draft. It's that time of the year where we're starting to work out who's who in the zoo as far as bottom teams goes. Firstly, good afternoon. How are you, mate?
Hey, boys. Good to be here. I think I'm one of about five Melbourne supporters here today, so it should be a lovely day for Boris Enright's 300th.
Well, a great day to certainly take a drive down the freeway. But
perfect.
Teams are starting to, the letter's starting to shape up. Teams are starting to, I would think, with the national championships halfway through, would be starting to really lock away their thoughts on where those first round draft selections are going. And it'll be interesting to see, A, who gets that the coveted number one pick and where that one falls at the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tomo, that when we talk about this at this stage of the year, we've generally got a clear idea of, as to who that player might be. And I guess this was the time last year where Christian Petrarca, Scotty, really started to announce himself as a possible number one pick. And then obviously Paddy McCartan was in the conversation right throughout the year. So it is that time of the year where we've got the Nationals on and we're halfway through Division 1 at the moment. Division 2 started yesterday up on the Gold Coast and there were some pretty good games. And some, especially the first game was really tight between New South Wales and also Tasmania, who actually had a surprise win there by a couple of points, which I think shocked a few people. But it is the time of the year where we start to look as supporters too of clubs who are outside the eight and don't have ambitions to play finals and sort of see where we're going to sit at the end of the year and think, okay, well, who are the kids that that we should be looking at and the names that we should look for November? And there's certainly a few that have put their hands up so far this year throughout the AFL Championships, also the TAC Cup and also the AFL Academy games against the two VFL sides at the start of the year.
We'll have a look at it, Brett, and how the ladder's forming, because I think it's worth you telling us who you're thinking that top 10 are, and then we can discuss how it works with who is where currently on the ladder.
All right, Brett Anderson, fire away your top 10 as it stands right here, right now.
Right now, I've got Josh Sackey as the number one pick as it stands right now, so not Jacob Wiedering, who's the one who's been mentioned by a lot of, outlets as the number one pick elect, but I think Josh Sackey's form throughout the national championships, where I think he's kicked 17 goals in his four games, a bag of eight, a bag of five the other day against South Australia, which are the other best team basically in Division 1, and the best defenders he's going to face this year because, of course, Jacob Wiedering and also Kieran Collins are on his team for Vic Country, so can't play against them. We will see him play against them, I think, at TAC Cup level, hopefully later in the year. So I've got him at number one. He's a 199 centimetre key forward, left footer, very good below his knees when the ball's on the deck, but a beautiful kick.
Now, this is your best 10 players rather than trying to work out
exactly
who finishes where.
This is just my best 10 players. I've got Jacob Wiedering at two. So he's the other end of the spectrum in terms of being the key defender, really smooth mover, reads the ball really well in the air, very good foot skills on both sides. He's a real general, a bit like a Harry Taylor, I guess, with the way that he can take a mark and chop off an opposition attack. Then from there, I've got Aaron Francis, a South Australian kid who's a bit of a utility. He's played forward, he's played back, he's played midfield. He started in the centre a couple of weeks ago for South Australia. He kicked four goals, five one day. But then the week before that, he took, I think it was 12 or 14 marks down back. So I got him at three. Then this is where it gets a little bit interesting this year, Scotty and Nathan, is that the academy kids are going to have a really big bearing this year for me. And Callum Mills has been talked about a lot as a Sydney Academy player, as a midfielder, and he's missing with a shin problem at the moment. He's going to miss the entire national championships. I've got him in there at number four on my board at the moment with Jacob Hopper, the GWS Academy selection at number five. Now, he was outstanding yesterday for New South Wales in their game. He basically got them right back in, and if they had won the game, it would have been the back of his efforts in midfield. So he was very good, a strong-bodied midfielder. The next one is one who's come from sort of nowhere, is a kid called Matthew Kennedy, who's a GWS Academy selection as well. Now, his story is a little bit different in that he hasn't really been part of their program that much, Tomo, because his parents wanted him to play country footy with his brothers last year at a little place called Collingully, up in the Riverina competition. So he played senior footy up there, kicked four goals in the grand final in senior footy. They won the premiership, and this year he's gone on to play for New South Wales in the trial games and has really stood out as a big-bodied midfielder. So I've got him. Then Darcy Parrish, who's a Geelong Falcons midfielder, I've got there at seven. The next one's Charlie Curno, who's some, if you speak to Mick Turner, Mick can sort of talk his kids up a little bit. But
Brother of Ed
has got him as the best player in the country. Now, he's certainly got that capability for me, but he's got some injury issues himself at the moment. Then I've got Sam Wiedemann, another injured key forward at the moment from the Eastern Rangers. I've got him at nine. And then Calamachi, who's Carnival so far has been somewhat disappointing for Western Australia, but he's certainly got the talent. We saw that in the AFL Academy games at the start of the year where he was outstanding against the Northern Blues on the MCG.
All right, there you go, Scotty. So there's the top 10 from Brett's point of view. How does that fit in with the teams at the moment when we're looking at Melbourne, Carlton, Brisbane, Gold Coast at the moment in that bottom end of the ladder?
Well, my view is clearly Brisbane, Carlton and Melbourne would take Shacky if it continues as it is. So my question for Brett would be, what do you think Gold Coast do? And Wiedering is a key back at pick two. Who was the last key back that went that high, or what's the earliest key back that you can remember being drafted?
When's the last time a key back, a genuine key back, went in the top 10?
Yes. Michael Hurley.
Conversation. No, he was actually a bit of a forward as well. So Wiedering's more your defender. So Hurley had played forward. Nathan Brown from Collingwood was a top 10 pick, but was actually drafted originally forward. As a forward. So it is an interesting one to look at.
And then you would look at it, and for that young man's football development, does he look to play the second half of the year up forward or through the midfield?
But we've seen him play forward. He went forward a little bit for Vic Country last week, and he has played forward before. He's played on a wing last year for Dandenong Stingray, so he's got some versatility.
There's no issue that he goes very high.
The thing was, he was 191 centimetres. He's grown 4 centimetres. He was 195, 196 now, so it's a little bit different. I think Gold Coast would take a Wiedering. I think he'd fit in perfectly for them.
Yep.
And I actually think Melbourne would take Wiedering.
Do you?
Yeah, over Shacky as a key defender. I think they've got some concerns about their key back still. You look at Tom McDonald, but also Lyndon Dunn's fighting above his weight range back there. He's more of a third key defender. Yeah. They need to find another genuine key back down there.
Who's the second banana for Hogan to help him out, though?
That's the question. Do they have enough faith in Chris Dawes to be that second banana? Not sure at the moment where that sort of sits. You'd love to have two picks, and that's where clubs are going to look at the end of the year, Tomo, is they're going to want to have multiple picks, some of these clubs inside the top 10. What can they trade out and trade in to get in there? And there's going to be a lot of competition from other clubs getting into the top 12 because there is a real drop-off this year.
Well, that's the thing that really interests me as well, Scotty, and I'd love to hear your opinion on what makes a skinny draft versus a year when everyone is more happy to pass on a lower-end top first-round selection draft because they believe that they could still pick up a 150-game player at number 30.
Yeah, well, it'll be what they see at the carnival and the number of players that excite them and the class that they're seeing. So the standard, if you look at last weekend, talking to recruiters throughout the week, they saw Metro give WA a hiding. And their view from that game will be, despite what happened, we didn't learn much and not a lot has changed for us because of the quality of who you're playing on, despite what you might do. Whereas one of the better games, or the best game for the carnival, was the Vic Country SA game. So a high level of football carries far more weight in the recruiters' eyes. And what they've been disappointed with is just, in this year, it's just that star quality and the depth of it that they probably can find five or six that they really like.
It's probably the depth.
Yeah, it's a draftable board. A lot of clubs in the last couple of weeks have said, look, usually we'd have, because they'll have draftables, possibles, certainties, that they'll have had 50 draftables that they consider that players that they'd be happy on their list. They're sitting at around that 30-35 mark as we speak, which is uncharacteristically low.
I've got 45 as it is right now that I think are draftables, and generally by now I'd probably have well over 50 or 60. Yeah. 45 is a pretty low number, and some of those guys I'm really sort of scraping at the barrel and just putting them there based on the fact that we think that there'll be around 50 live picks this year, maybe a few more. Clubs will mostly take their two picks and then look through the draft and free agency, trade and free agency strategies to bring players in.
All right, injured star Mitch Duncan from the Geelong Football Club to join us very, very shortly. So Geelong fans and football fans, hang around because we're going to get to Mitch very shortly for a great chat. Of course, Corey Enright's 300th game here this afternoon down at Simmons Stadium. You mentioned 45 picks. Does that mean that there's a lot of smokies that are going to be out there, players with maybe that show a bit of potential, not necessarily the consistency, that are playing in the TAC Cup and in South Australia and Western Australia and in the academies at the moment?
I think it's the best year that we've had yet. If you're an under 9 or a 19-year-old that's come back for a second year in terms of your opportunities to be drafted, but also in terms of players through the NEAFL like an Aaron Vandenberg last year and through the SANFL and other competitions, even the VFL where players have gone back to. I think that's the best opportunity to have been in that system this year to get picked up at the end of the year based on the lack of depth in this draft where clubs are going to look at that sort of 15 mark and think, well, from there on, we're really not too sure. So I think that's
absolutely
the thing.
Kids
is there any of those names that stand out at the moment?
The challenge with that, though, is because of the two new teams coming in and how those lists were compiled, the VFL Sanford Waffle has in many ways had the eyes picked out of the last or 4 years. So the talent there, whilst good, there's a lot of exposed form. So perhaps less players that they've already given those opportunities to.
Yeah, exactly.
But certainly they're looking. They're looking everywhere to find them.
They're looking everywhere. I was only talking to someone yesterday that they're even looking at Australian National Basketball Championships. There were scouts at the Under-18 National Championships for basketball sitting there watching what was going on.
Basically, they'll just pick less. I mean, compulsory three picks. It might be two picks and a rookie upgrade. That's how they'll compile their picks rather than their preparedness to have three or four picks in the first three rounds.
It's probably not the year that you want to be down the bottom looking for multiple picks early because there's just not quite the talent there where you might have been able to get a few years ago.
And it's the year you want to be as an AFL player, vulnerable to keeping your spot on the list.
All right, boys.